Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fat Man Little Trail, the podcast where everyone is invited on the trail. I, of course, am your host, Greg, the Fat Man, founder of fatmanlittletrail.com. I want to thank everybody who's been listening and supporting and sending me messages about the podcast over the last year or so. I really appreciate that. If you want to support the podcast, make sure you click that link in my bio where you can give a monthly donation to help me get going, and maybe even, we'll see here, buy me a teleprompter so I can get through this without stumbling as much. I want to get right into my chewing the fat segment today. The guy that I'm talking to today, we met on a trail in Sedona, Arizona. We were doing a sunrise hike at Cathedral Rock, and we were both kind of standing in this like flat area where it was like before you really climb up to the top of the rock, but it's like a 360 degree view. And I was too chicken to keep going, but Adam kept going, and I'm really excited to talk with Adam. We hung out on, or we followed each other on Instagram ever since then. So Adam Harris Thompson, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
How's it going?
It's going great. Before I get too much into just us talking a little bit here, and there's a guitar right there for those of you watching on YouTube. So that's going to come into play a little bit later. But before we get into all that, give me a little bit of background about you and kind of your love of the outdoors.
Okay. So, I'm 35, mostly lived in South Carolina and Georgia in my life. I kind of grew up going to Boy Scouts and what got a little bit of that love for the outdoors there. But really, as an adult, I think I really got into it a lot after I got a camera for my music business to kind of try and keep my YouTube presence up to date. And I started having fun knocking around with the camera, and I found that like landscape photography was just a really big hobby for me. And so I kind of jumped out there with that. But I would say that's kind of a lot of my background with really getting into the outdoors and enjoying it. But I mean, there's more obviously, but I could go on for days about that.
Absolutely. We had a little bit of a glitch there, but we're going to keep going. You're now a full-time musician though, correct?
Yes. So I've been a full-time musician for like 7 years. It's been pretty good. I've enjoyed it.
Are you doing just gigs around South Carolina and Georgia mostly?
Okay, so mostly I play in Georgia and Carolinas, but I do occasionally have gigs in like Tennessee, Alabama, or Florida. I've had a few that were sort of outliers. Like I've been to Dominican Republic 4 times to perform, just nice. Playing shows in somebody's backyard. And I've got a wedding coming up in October that's going to be on the California coast, which I'm really excited about. And potentially another wedding in September that I'm still trying to lock down that might be up in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. So I'm kind of starting to branch out and get a little bit further away from home, but mostly I've been in the Southeast.
Very cool. Just give me a little bit of background on your music. What are your influences and your sound like?
So I kind of have a pretty wide range of influences. I write music kind of for both arenas, like by both arenas, I mean worship and church music, and as well as mainstream radio type music. And with writing, I guess singer songwriter, soft rock, gospel worship, all that kind of works its way in, alternative, folk rock. But as far as what I play when I'm out touring around the Southeast or wherever, it's a lot of covers, and I do a little bit of everything. I do Motown, blues, 80s, 90s, current stuff, Americana, jam band, country, rock and roll, classic rock, you know, a little bit of everything. So
when I hike, I get really inspired to write. Do you find that, you said you're a songwriter as well, so how does the outdoors kind of inspire you to write?
Well, I mean, it certainly inspires me just from the standpoint of when you go to a place that beautiful, like, because most of the hikes that I've done, like, you end up at this grand view that just, you just want to live there. And I've found that can be very, very inspiring when I'm trying to to write a song and bring a complex feeling into words. And one of the songs that I'm going to kind of close us out with today kind of brings a lot of that in too. Yeah, I mean, I'm inspired by other things besides the outdoors too, but I definitely have a couple songs that were inspired by that, and you'll hear a couple of those today.
I remember when we were in Sedona and we're standing on kind of that slick rock in the flats, we were both just kind of in awe of everything that you could see around that area. Oh, yeah. Because you're up.
I want to say we were standing there right at the time the sun was kind of starting to peak over the hills in the distance, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just gorgeous, just watching the sun like kind of come through and shake away the mist. So
see, that's a good song line right there.
Yeah.
There we go. I hope you've used that. The sunlight shake away the mist.
Yeah.
So did you always want to be a musician when you were growing up, or is this something that you found a little bit later in life?
I would say kind of, yeah. I mean the standard kindergarten question of what do you want to be when you grow up, you know. I think I did say a rock and roller, but I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a rock and roller. I'm more of a singer songwriter type, but yeah, it's always kind of been there.
Very cool. I have this question because I started playing the ukulele, or at least I started to try to play the ukulele. I have no musical skills whatsoever. I can't even count to four. And I started to play it while I was during the quarantine. The first thing I did is went on Amazon and bought up a ukulele. And I was like, this is going to be a great idea. And I could play like one note, I think, and I don't understand chords, but that's neither here nor there. But when I started hiking, people were like, oh, take that ukulele you got and take it up there and play it in the mountains and play it in the hills. Is that something that you do as someone with actual musical talent? You know, do you go up there and kind of find inspiration for that music and just want to play to nature?
Yeah. I certainly want to, but it's not always practical. carrying a guitar is not exactly practical on most trails that I've hiked. I will say the Grand Canyon is a place where you can park relatively close to the rim, and I've taken my guitar out there and just had an outstanding experience, because, you know, like you've got like the most tremendous natural amphitheater type acoustic right behind you. You don't need a PA system. You don't need any of the fancy like pedals and stuff. It just sounds awesome. And I remember singing a song that talked about the canyons echo glory, hallelujah, and the mountains echo sweet amazing grace, and my spirit sails, the mighty gales are bellowing your name. And like I was singing this song, and obviously that's kind of a faith-based song, but as I'm singing the song, like the canyons are echoing what I'm saying, and the things that are happening in the lyrics are happening as I'm singing them. And then this like really strong wind just about takes us off our feet while we're singing this. It was me and my friend Richard from high school like singing this on the rim, and I mean it was moving. Just oh, is nature just kind of got involved in the song and like made you realize that the things you're singing were actually happening all around you. And I mean, we looked up after that song, there was like 200 or 300 people gathered around, like just hanging out, listening. And it was really cool. But apart from that, I've really not taken my guitar or my harmonicas too much on the hikes. I mostly carry my camera and some water, maybe a snack or two for the fat guy in me, you know, but it's certainly a thing that I take inspiration from while I'm up there. And then maybe when I come back down, I'll end up writing about it.
I feel like my ukulele would be nothing but just emergency firewood. That'd be the only reason that I would take it up there. Because like I said, I thought
ukulele is a little bit more transportable. Like, you could take that up there easier than my guitar. Cause like my guitar case weighs about 30 pounds. With the guitar in it and everything. So like, it's not like really heavy, but it's just awkward shaped and it would bump into everything. And
well, and every pound counts when you're hiking, you know, if you're going to go 10 miles or something, you don't want to have an extra 30 pounds just sitting around on you.
Right. And if you're carrying it in your hand too, then it's just like dead weight at the end of your arm. But I mean, I do have a new guitar case that I just got that actually has some backpack straps that will connect to it. So maybe I'll explore around with that a little bit, but I don't know. We'll see.
I love that idea of being at the Grand Canyon and singing about everything that nature has, you know, everything that's out there in the world and all the beauty, and then actually singing it to the beauty that is, you know, out there. So that's that's a pretty amazing story. When you get these gigs, like you said, you know, the Dominican Republic and you're going out to California and things like that, are you now immediately just thinking about where you can hike when you get the gig?
When I go places like that, sure. When I'm touring around the Southeast, there's usually not a lot of time for it because I will get up and like say, for example, today I'm going to leave after this interview. I'm going to drive 2.5 hours to Greenville, South Carolina. I'm going to play 3 hours there. I'm going to pack up my stuff, and then I'm going to drive 2.5 hours back, and then I'm going to go to bed and get up and do the same thing tomorrow, going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So there's just too much back and forth and not enough time set aside. But like when I go to California in October, I've already blocked off like 5 days before the wedding to just spend in Sequoia and Yosemite and Kings Canyon and some of those places, just because I don't get to go to those kind of places every day.
Sure.
You know, like it, I mean, California is a once a year kind of trip for me, you know? So, now, I mean, I do typically take 2 to 3 trips a year, but I mean, they're not always going to be that far away. Sometimes they're a little bit closer. Like I'm thinking about maybe in March going up to Shenandoah in Virginia, and I can just drive there. So, yeah, I'm certainly thinking about that when I go places like that. And then in Dominican, it's a little bit different just because there's all these vendors that will just harass you the whole time anywhere you go. And so like you have to like pay a guide to go around with you, and they kind of need the money. So it's a fair thing to do. But like when you're by yourself and you don't have another like tourist with you to talk to, then the salesmanship like never ends. They're like constantly trying to sell you more and more stuff. But I mean, there are some really cool things to see there. And I did go on a gondola ride up to a sort of mountain top up in Dominican there. They had one of the Jesus type statues, similar to the one in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some trails and stuff up there that were kind of cool to check out with the guide that I had taking me through it. But then I heard like, I want to say maybe a few months after I got back here, that same gondola had gotten stuck, and the Dominican engineers just didn't have a plan for what would happen if it ever got stuck. So people were just hanging there for like 17 hours, and then they finally got a helicopter there and got them all out. And I mean, everyone was okay to my knowledge, but that's just a long time to be hanging up there like that. And I know like you have a little bit of that fear of heights, so you probably would never go.
Well, there's a place around me, or a couple hours from me, called the Royal Gorge, which is like the tallest suspension bridge in North America, and it is 1,000-foot drop, and you can walk across this bridge, or you can take a gondola across or a zip line across. And like, I barely made it walking across the bridge. And then people are like, oh, get in the gondola. I'm like, no, that is just cage death. Like, it's just waiting for you there. Like, how in the world? Like, I think the option 2 would be zip line and have a heart attack on the first, you know, second of it, just to end my misery at that point, if that bridge ever fell down. But yeah, I cannot even imagine like, I can't think of
nothing happened when I was there. I got lucky. You know, I got on a thing. Everything happened like it was supposed to when I was there. And, you know, I've ridden like many of those like gondola and aerial trams, and I've never had a problem with any of them. And I always kind of enjoy those things. But again, I have a healthy fear of heights, but I'm probably not quite on your level with that. I mean, I'm a little bit more comfortable with certain things, and, you know, like I kind of trust the engineering usually with those kind of things. The one in Dominican, I was kind of like, I'm sure to win. But I don't know. It was certainly fun when I did it, but it was funny to hear that story later.
I like to say that.
Okay. But
Yeah, I like to say that I have a respect for gravity more than a fear of heights. Like there are plenty of like gravity is constant, it's not going to change, and there's plenty of people who like make mistakes on their engineering tests, and you know, like not everyone there got 100% on their final. So I think I'm going to trust the gravity more than those engineers. So we've been talking about the music a little bit. How can I hear your music? Is it do I have to see you live, or are you out there on the interwebs too?
So there's one song that's on Spotify and YouTube and Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, all those places, and that's the first song I'm going to play for you. But if you go to my website, which is adamharristompson.com, there's actually four or five songs that I finished recording and uploaded there. But that's the only place you can listen to them until I release them. Then I also have like it's a YouTube channel and my Facebook page, which you can find a lot of videos under the video tab on Facebook and a lot of videos on YouTube, which are me like doing covers and stuff. Like I have like a demo series where I do like just 20 to 30 second clips of like 10 or 15 covers in a row. And that's the demos that I send out to all the venues and potential wedding clients and private party clients and things like that to try and seal the deal. So people can kind of check out and get an idea of what I sound like from that. But obviously the real experience is going and seeing me live right now, but I am hoping to release a full length record, knock on wood, sometime in the next century. I released the one song with great intentions of releasing the full length album like 6 months later, and it's been like 7 years. So it's
It's
just a
just
really long and expensive process.
that's just a deep tease, you know? It's like
Yeah, really.
anybody can release an album right after it when
I'm
it's
a
on
one
people's
hit
minds.
wonder right now. I've only got
Exactly.
one song.
Is it, I do have to ask, is it? It seems like it might be easier now to release music and for an artist to have kind of more control over, before you had to wait until you got a record deal and found by a scout and things like that. But like with the internet and Spotify and YouTube and TikTok and all that stuff, is it a little bit easier to get your voice out there?
There's a give and take to that. Yes, it is easier to get it out there, but because it's easier to get it out there, it's a much more saturated market. And there's also like the revenue stream is very, very different now. Like you don't have musicians making a ton of money off of like recorded music now, like you did 20 or 30 years ago. Most of the money is coming off of the live performances. So like the average, like Spotify or Pandora or any sort of streaming service you use, Apple Music, Amazon Music, any of those streaming platforms where you just stream the music without actually buying it, the artist is usually getting somewhere between 0.004 and 0.003 cents per stream. So for about every 250 to 300 streams, you'll make a dollar. So
Gotcha.
you start doing the math on that and trying to figure out where the money's going to come from, and it takes a while for that revenue to add up.
So
So,
back in the day, the record labels controlled more, but they also helped promote and
yeah, well, and
helped.
see the flip side of that is like the record label would give the artist like 16% cut of all of the profit made on the music. So the artists themselves really weren't seeing a whole lot of that money anyways. It was going to everyone who produced it and everything else. So,
Now I'm starting to wonder because I stream my podcast on Amazon Music and Spotify and Apple Music and all, and they don't pay me anything. I think
you got to
I'm in the wrong.
monetize it. You got to put the commercials on it or something.
I do. I need to get that ukulele back out here and start putting songs out. Oh, that'd be terrible. On your website though, do you have a list of all of your live events and where you're going to be so people can find you?
In theory, yes. I'm bad about not updating it, because it's a pain to go in and update that
Sure.
platform. Like WordPress is just notoriously slow, for editing my website. But I do have a Facebook and an Instagram as well. So like if you go to my Instagram page, there's a little highlight button that says shows, and I update that every week with where I'm going to be. And
Okay.
then like on Facebook, on my music profile, I'll have at least a post every week that's saying where I'm going to be. And then like once a month, I'll put a show poster out there as my schedule for the month on. And then I do try to keep the update the updated website, you know, I kind of try to keep it there, but it's sometimes you may go to my website and the upcoming shows may just be blank because I've dropped the ball. So,
gotcha. It doesn't mean you're not playing. You're out there working.
Right.
We had a little bit of a glitch there, but essentially check out your Facebook and your Instagram page,
mm-hmm.
For the most up to date on where you're going to play. I'm going to have you play a song for us in just a second, but I had to squeeze in one more kind of not trick question, but a rapid fire. We'll say, because you're the first musician that I've gotten to interview on the podcast. So if you could play with one other musician, live or dead. Okay. How about this? You can play with three other musicians, live or dead, or one. I don't really care. It's a podcast. Let's just have fun with it. Pick like three of your favorite musicians that you could play with and let me know who they are.
So from a musical standpoint and just how much fun the groove would be, I'd really enjoy playing with John Mayer because he's got like a really, really soulful guitar vibe that I think would suit the style of music I write pretty well. From a songwriter standpoint, there's a guy named Andrew Peterson that probably nobody has heard of on your listening crowd, but that he's one of my biggest influences as a songwriter. And I'd love to pick his brain and let him hear a couple of my songs and hear what he has to say. Apart from those two, trying to think of a female singer that I would just have a really fun time with, but maybe Lauren Daigle's a really good singer. I really like her. I don't know. But yeah, I could have some fun harmonizing with a female singer too. That would be really cool.
So mostly your influences are kind of more recent on the musical side,
it seems. Maybe.
No Elvis Presley on the list.
I mean, Elvis Presley was a outstanding songwriter and singer. I would say that influence wise, I've got a lot of things all over the map. There's all ages, all genres. So a little bit of everything there.
Sounds good. Well, Adam, I have to ask the favor. Could you play us a song?
Yeah, I'm going to grab another harmonica that I need really quick for that first song, and I'll be right back.
Tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and Adam's going to play a song for us. Welcome back. During the break, me and Adam were talking, and I was telling him that when I heard him, I heard a little bit of Chris Stapleton as an influence. So we're going back to the question from before of you know, who his favorite or musicians who've influenced him. Is Chris Stapleton on that list?
Sure. Yeah. I do get compared to him a lot. Not only the beard, you know, and to be fair, the beard I've had since before I knew who Chris Stapleton was, but it is kind of an interesting thing that we both have that. And, but yeah, my voice does sound a little bit like his. I also get compared to Eddie Vedder a lot. Like one of the venues in South Carolina, anytime I play there, they always put it in their promotions that like I'm the child that Chris Stapleton and Eddie Vedder never had or something. It's like their way of setting up who I am and what I sound like. So that's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah, it's definitely got some great soul to your voice. So without further ado, what song are you going to play for us? And we'll get going.
So the first song I'm going to play is called West Virginia, which ironically is a place I've never been. But but there was a time in my life when I kind of felt like what I needed was to just get lost in the mountains and be a hermit for a while and reinvent myself. And this song's kind of about that whole thought process and all music career instead and reinvent myself where I was rather than try and move away. But there was still sort of that call of the wild, if you will, that made me want to kind of get out there and go live somewhere in the mountains. So this song's called West Virginia.
All right.
Another blue sky falling. West Virginia. I want frequent flyer miles. Need my baggage by the turnstile. When I feel the sun wind from the town, cold, cold south, in my bathroom floor. See you with me from my dream no more. West Virginia.
Awesome job, man. That's a song that I first heard about you. Like when, you know, after we met, we saw each other on Instagram and I went back and I looked up your music on, I think it was your website. And that was a song I heard. And I was like, oh man, this guy knows what he's doing. So you wrote that song, right?
Yeah.
And had you been to any of those places before?
I had been to Colorado at the time. Well, no. I think I went to Colorado and Montana both after that. But at the time, there was sort of that wanderlust of me wanting to go to all those places. And the main reason I just picked West Virginia is because it was a place with sort of a lot of hills that was close enough to home that I could still come back and visit, you know, if I was going to move a place that had a lot of mountains and just get lost like that. But I don't think I had been to any of those places really before that, but I have been to Colorado and Montana since then. And I've definitely got plans to go to Alaska at some point, but Alaska is not really a place I want to go by myself while I'm solo traveling, just because everything's big and scary there. So,
yeah. So this is just a question that I have for my own personal, but does the song hit you the same now that you've been to those places, or did it change the meaning at all?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like having gone there, I just want to go back, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, Colorado and Montana were both beautiful and I left way too much on the table with both of those places. So I still have that wanderlust to kind of go back to those places.
They are amazing. Next time you're in Colorado, you'll have to hit me up. We'll check out Rocky Mountain National Park together.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, it's time. I don't know if you're ready for this, but it's the rapid fire buffet questions. Adam, are you ready?
Let's just go for it.
All right, here we go. This is a lot of people stress out. A lot of people tap out. I think you can make it through these very challenging questions. Number one, would you rather be camping, glamping, or staying in a hotel?
Camping.
Good answer. Number two, would you rather road trip or fly to your destination?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I like to fly just because it's fun. But I do enjoy the road tripping thing too, because you get to see a lot.
I loved it when I road tripped to both the Utah and to Arizona. Like, it was just, I drove.
I like to road trip once I'm there, but fly to get there. So, because for me, like a lot of the spots out west where I want to go, Like it'd be a long drive from here.
That is a long road trip. So you'll fly and then you'll road trip. That makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
What is your go-to snack on the trail?
I don't know. I'm kind of boring. Usually just like a granola bar or something.
I'm going to keep talking about it. It's the Clif Bar white macadamia and chocolate.
Oh, that's a good
white
one.
Chocolate yeah. macadamia bars. I'm going to keep saying it until they sponsor me, but they are delicious. And I have one on every single hike. What is the, and I'm going to change this up a little bit for you because of, you know, the music. What's the first thing you eat or drink after a set?
Usually dinner. usually I don't eat my dinner before I get on stage, because if I eat dinner before I get on stage, then like all the like indigestion and burping that you get from after eating a big meal will happen while you're trying to sing, and you'll just be like trying to like turn your head to the side and this guy's a burp or something. But
do you have
sometimes I'll have dinner, sometimes I'll have occasionally I'll have a good beer or something if there's some good ones on tap. But yeah.
There you go. The weirdest answer I've gotten on this is a lot of people have a Summit Snickers when they hike. As soon as they get to the top of a mountain, they always eat a Snickers bar. So it's been like three people.
Interesting.
And the last rapid fire question.
I would think the Snickers would melt on the way up. But
that's like, what, yeah. I don't know. I don't do it. So I go with macadamia and white chocolate Clif bars.
Right,
they're delicious. Please sponsor me. The last rapid fire question. You're doing great, but this is the hard one. If you could be anywhere right now, would you rather be on a forest, in the mountains, or on a beach?
Mountains. I like all three, though.
Good answer. The last person I talked to, I think they cheated, and they said they wanted to be on the beach of a lake, in a forest, on a mountain. And I was like, well, that's just cheating.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You have made it past the buffet, the rapid fire questions with flying colors. I told you they were going to be hard before the interview before
all
we started recording
problems. Huh?
Yeah. Before this, he was like, oh, the rapid fire. I was like, well, mine are really easy. I just ask you quantum physics. And, you know, I had to get him a little bit nervous there. So Adam, every podcast, I do a hike of the week, but since you're my guest this week, the honor is yours. If you could describe for us one of your favorite hikes you've ever been on.
Okay, so this is a unique one, but you may not like it because it involved gondolas and swinging bridges, but there's a place called Sea to Sky in Squamish, Canada, like which is kind of out in British Columbia there near Vancouver, and there's some really cool trails there with some awesome stuff to see, and I wish I'd had more time. I only had one day there, but there were some. I mean, they had some beginner trails, some intermediate trails, and some advanced trails there. So that was a really good spot. Closest to me, I would say Great Smoky Mountains is a place where I go to hike a lot because I can actually get there and it's in driving distance. So there's tons of good stuff there too. Alum Cave Trail is a really good one that you can spend a whole day on. Then some of the waterfall trails are good to knock out several in a day, and you can kind of have fun in the waterfalls too. So
how would you compare like the Smoky Mountains to the mountains you saw when you came out to Colorado and Montana and Arizona?
Greener, less large game wildlife. I mean, they do have black bears in the Smokies. I see a lot more black bears there than I do, other types of animals. Whereas when I went out west, I saw moose in Wyoming and, lots of everything in Wyoming, really. You have grizzlies and black bears and elk and stuff there too. So I saw a lot more variety of bigger game and buffalo and stuff like that there too. Or I guess bison is the correct American term. Buffalo is like some kind of African thing. It's the same thing. But I don't know. The mountains, I would say, are a little bit smaller over here and on this side. Maybe a little bit more green, but
softer.
There's so many good spots to hike. Like I'm really looking forward to Yosemite in October. I've never been to Yosemite. I've got high expectations of the hiking there. Zion is a place I've got to throw out there for any hiking enthusiasts because it's just loaded for a smaller park. It's got a ton going on and just lots of great hikes there.
We lost
you. You probably wouldn't enjoy Angel's Landing because of your respect of gravity, But see, I used your appropriate
I appreciate that.
But
we lost
the chain
a little
section
bit
on that one. Is really, really interesting. So
I heard about that when I was out in Utah, and that's one of the reasons I decided not to go to Zion. I ran out of time, but I was like, they're like, oh, you'll love it. And there's the Narrows where you're like wading in water through really tight canyons, and then there's the Angel's Landing where you have to hold on.
I think you would like
the
Narrows.
Yeah,
I wouldn't recommend Angel's Landing to you, because you would get up to the good part where you have to work really hard to get there, and then you wouldn't want to enjoy it, because I mean, you've got like a 1,000-foot drop off on just right next to you. I mean, you've got, you know, as wide as the path, and if you step off either side, you're in trouble. So
yeah, no,
they have something there for you to hold on to, but it's just you're better off not being scared of looking down on a place like that.
That's kind of like the people that eat the atomic chicken wings that like they hurt for 4 days afterwards. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I know people enjoy it, but I'm not one of those people that enjoys it. We did lose you for a bit there, but I think you said Yosemite is one place that you're also really looking forward
absolutely
to.
Absolutely. Yosemite is a place I'm looking forward to. I haven't been there, but I'm really looking forward to that one, because I've got high expectations of the hiking there. I think it's going to be some good stuff.
That's on my bucket list, along with the Sequoia. Like those, I want to see those giant trees
as well.
That sounds great. So we're also doing a new segment, Adam, and you're the first one of 2022 to get to do this segment. It is called Ask the Fat Man, where I've been asking you questions this whole time. So it's your turn to ask me a question.
Okay. So I'll kind of set up a little bit by saying, you know, anybody that spends as much time in national parks and on trails and things like that as we do, you tend to see a lot of cringeworthy things that other people do. As an Instagram influencer, I kind of have this specific question for you. Do you see any problem with the daredevilish things and lengths that people are going to get the perfect shot to get more followers on their Instagrams?
Yes, I think people are crazy. I went to a place called Horseshoe Bend, which is one of the most popular Instagram pictures that everybody gets. And it's, if you haven't seen it, it's like 1,000-foot drop into this kind of horseshoe shaped canyon.
In Page, Arizona, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's in, Page, Arizona. So it's kind of in that northwest between like Page or between Arizona and Nevada, like that kind of corner there. And I walk up there, and obviously I'm scared of heights. So, you know, I didn't get that close to the edge, and there's a fenced in area. And then right next to that, there is, there's just like
bluffs you can just go out onto, right?
Yeah. There's bluffs. Well, there were these Instagram girls who were literally dangling their feet over the edge, arching their backs, trying to get these pictures. And they would like stand up or they'd lay down sideways and like lean half their body over the thing. And then they'd start dancing like right on the edge. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, for 200 followers, are you really going to fall 1,000 feet and die? And I think it's pretty ridiculous. The other thing I see is, you know, like I go to Rocky Mountain National Park a lot, and there's a lot where people want to take pictures, like with animals, with moose, and they'll,
that's a bad idea.
That's a horrible idea. Moose are like the most terrifying thing. I was so excited to see a moose until I saw my first moose. And then I was like, I don't ever want to see a moose again. Cause like, however big you think they are, they're twice as big as that. Like, think of like one of those Cadillac Escalades, and like they're taller than that, and they're wider than, they're just enormous animals. You know, they just terrify me.
I saw a few of them in Wyoming, and I kept the car between me and them at all times.
Yeah, well, there's a video out here of like somebody drove their car up close to a moose, and the moose got its antlers underneath the car, the quarter panel, and picked the car up off the ground. Because moose just don't
shock me. If you're getting up close to them, then they do not appreciate that at all. Like I never got any closer than about a football field length from one.
Yeah, they're terrible.
That's about as close as you want to be, because they're really fast. And if they decide they don't like you, then it's done.
and up in Rocky Mountain, so there was this mama moose and her two babies walked past the trail, and we're all kind of standing around the trail because like she's on one side and you don't want to, you know, cross her path if she's going to cross this way. So she crosses her path, and then all these people like start getting off the trail and getting closer and closer to her. And then of course they want to turn their back to the moose, because that's another brilliant idea, and you put their hand over their face or their head and take a selfie. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, okay, Instagram will love this picture. I cannot doubt it, but please stop loving this picture because this person's about to die, you know? So yeah, definitely there's people that do a lot of crazy things out there for Instagram. I appreciate you calling me an influencer. You made me seem a lot more popular than I am. You know, and I've done stupid things, but I don't think I've ever put myself in danger other than just being a fat guy who hikes too much. you know, I put my cardiologist is probably like, oh gosh, like one of these days, you know? But you know, I don't get myself into like dangerous situations. I think the worst part I do is when I go to the restaurants afterwards and I have the triple cheeseburgers. That's that's probably my worst Instagram moments. But
well, I mean, I will say that like while my may be strong as yours, I do still have that respect of gravity. And when I was at the Cathedral Rock where we met, I definitely kind of wandered out there to the edges where you can get the cool shots in the videos. But I'm always staying where I know I've got good footing. Yeah. Like I'm not gonna go dangle out over the edge or anything like that. I mean, I sat down and held my foot out over the edge, but you know, that's about as much as I'm gonna do. And just to get there, I didn't just go up there and then sit down at the edge. I sat down and then I scooted on my butt like 3 or 4 times to get over to the edge. So it's certainly a thing of being careful, but like I see some of these Instagram influencers doing handstands on cliff edges and taking videos of themselves like walking out onto things that just not solid. And it's just, I wonder, you know, how much of that culture is like pushing people, encouraging people to take chances where they shouldn't be.
I think a lot of times, but some of them are faked, you know, and some of them are with camera angles and stuff like that, but people don't realize that. So there's a famous one, I think it's somewhere down in like Brazil, where you can hang off it and it looks it looks like you're hanging over like 5,000 feet drop, but you're really like a foot off the ground and you're just hanging.
But then
on
I've seen people try to do the same thing at places where they legitimately can fall.
Exactly. Because they don't know it was fake.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's the big, you know, one of the bigger dangers. People are going to be stupid and people are going to find, you know, stupid things to do, I guess. But now that we categorize it all and we put it all out there for the internet to see how dumb we are, it seems like I'm never ceases to amaze me. But Adam, will you play another song for us? We're wrapping up on time here, but I'd love to have you play us out here. I do want to thank everybody for listening to us as Adam gets set up here. Thank you for listening to us this week on the podcast. You can find us on Spotify and Amazon Music and Google Podcasts and basically anywhere where podcasts are available. And also double check fatmanlittletrail.com. That's kind of more of my writing and things that you might enjoy. And check out Adam at adamharrisonthompson.com, correct?
Adam Harris Thompson.
I'm sorry, Adam. I got too many ons in there. AdamHarrisThompson.com and then also on Instagram and Facebook as well. So I'm going to say my classic closing and then Adam, you can tell us what you're going to play for us. So I hope to see you all on the trail or at one of Adam's shows real soon. Until then, happy hiking.
Thanks, Greg. So the last song I'm going to play to kind of close us out here is a song that I wrote. And this one really is taking a lot of direct inspiration from the hiking that I've done and the parks that I've visited and some of the things that I've seen and just kind of what I felt when I was there. And for me, it kind of, this is definitely a faith-based song. It's more of a worship song that kind of ties nature into my faith experience. So it may not relate to everyone, you know, some people may not find that much to relate to in it, but it's certainly something that I felt when I was there, and there's a lot of influence from it. So I'll give you kind of an abridged version of that song.
I like to praise you in the temples of the canyons. You hear creation echo with me through its walls. I like to sing with all the breakers on the beaches, voice is so small. Oh, Holy Spirit moves me in moments when our joy increases in song. It flows like the rivers and the rocks cry out for me to sing along. Even in the darkest caverns, I can hear it. Like a lantern to my soul, singing hallelujah, further than the east is from the west. Hallelujah, higher than the heights are from the depths. All glory and all honor to the Father, be told.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.